The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantenradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Continue. Every week, The Shining Wizards is brought to you free of charge, and we thank you for listening. But if you'd like to help support the show in other ways, here's a few things that you can do to help. Go to iTunes and Stitcher and leave us a review. If you shop at Amazon, visit amazon.shiningwizards.com and shop the way you usually do. It won't cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will help support the show. If you'd like to buy some of our merchandise, visit prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards or shiningwizards.com/merch and purchase one of our t-shirts or some of our other great stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Become our friend on Facebook at Shining Wizards. Check out our Instagram photos at Wizards Podcast. And for all our videos, visit youtube.com/TheShiningWizards. The Shining Wizards is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, TuneIn, The Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizards.com, and Tuesdays live at 7 p.m. East on SWLive.net and RantEMRadio.com. From all of us at The Shining Wizards, we thank you for your continued support.
This is Tito Santana, and you are listening to The Shining Wizards. Arriba!
I have a small dick.
No, what?
God damn.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Cause I hate your fucking guts, all of you, every single one of you. Thought I was going to be in a better mood today. Well, fuck that. Throw it out the window. Welcome to another pissed off edition of Shining Wizard Tony, sitting in his fucking basement, freezing his balls off because he's got the AC cranked to 11. 11 degrees, that is, because it's hotter than dog's balls outside. Yes, it's a ballsy kind of episode of The Shining Wizards, where, of course, it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. I am not drunk. Jameson is not my best friend. I am not wallowing in a basement wondering when I'm going to talk about the NWO with my other co-wizards podcast shows things, and I said podcast. But we are not a podcast. We are live on rantemradio.com. We, of course, are brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Who else? It's our fucking network. Of course, we're going to be brought to you by us. For us? No, for you. And boy, oh boy, I don't really have... Okay, first I heard sausage fingers, now it's dead air. Well, I'm sorry, Manuel, but if you are listening now, you are hearing my voice. And I'm so glad that you commented because I got a treat for you guys. I got a great closing song. But there's something that I forgot to talk about last week when I was so pissed off. And it really fit the mood. And I regretted the moment that I finished the show that I did not talk about it. As you guys know, we are friendly. We are friends, compatriots with a tag team you may have heard of called the Handicapped Heroes. Zach Gowan, Gregory Iron, friends of the show, both have been on the show multiple times, even partook in some of our other shenanigans, like our tribute to Lanny Poffo. But apparently Greg and Zach did a show a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was just Greg on the show. I don't remember. It's been a couple weeks. I'm actually on Greg's Facebook page to try to find it so I don't report it incorrectly. But long story short, it was some slob who went on his Facebook page and thought it would be kind of funny to question the realism of Gregory Iron as a performer. Just because he has cerebral palsy, just because his right arm doesn't look like his left arm, you know what? It was a fellow whose right arm didn't look like his left arm either, and that guy made millions of dollars main eventing fucking stadium shows around the world, and he's a Hall of Famer. His name is Paul Orndorff. Now, I understand Paul Orndorff doesn't have cerebral palsy, but come on, let's not grasp at straws here. The guy's a talented guy. I'm talking about Gregory Iron. Of course, Paul Orndorff, one of the most talented guys in the world. I can't even fucking talk. My nose sucks. Everything sucks. So Greg actually nicely replied to this gentleman, and I wish I could find it. I'm terrible today, and I'm trying to do this just off the cuff. But long story short, the guy said, not for anything, but a guy with one arm, is he really, does he look realistic? Does he look like he could beat anybody? And obviously the answer to that is yes. Greg is talented. Greg actually did things very diplomatically, kind of put this guy in his place using something that people these days have a lack of, and that's facts. He said, what have you done? You've wrestled 27 matches in 7 years. Or it was something like that. But it was insane. And you know what? Even if I knew the guy's name, I wouldn't fucking name him anyway, because I don't want to give the guy the time of day. But folks, if you've ever get the chance, if you've ever had the chance to watch him on YouTube, or if you ever get the chance to see them live, go check out Greg. Go check out Zach. Handicapped Heroes. They're good people. I hope to see them around this way soon again. It's been a while. And I tell you what, those two guys put a smile on my little guy's face when we went to a Pro Wrestling Syndicate show a few years ago. And they draped the tag team titles over his shoulders and took a great picture with him. That's right. These guys are winning gold. And this slob that has the audacity to call him out has done absolutely nothing. Glass houses and thrown stones, pots and kettles and all that terrible shit. Fucking think before you speak. That's good advice for everybody, especially if you're trying to make a name for yourself in the business. Speaking of making names for yourselves, WWE had a pay-per-view over the weekend, and it was called Money in the Bank. And whether you agree with it or not, a lot of people are talking about Carmella becoming the first woman to win the women's Money in the Bank match. She's going to get a title shot against Naomi, who happened to beat Lana. And a lot of people bitching about Lana getting a title shot. I don't care either way. I mean, the women's divisions, they kind of fucking shuffled everything up. Everybody's getting buried. If you think SmackDown's bad, take a look at Raw. Fucking poor Bayley doesn't even get a fucking reaction on anything anymore. But fucking A, Tamina Snuka, Nia Jax, the big brutes fucking women and kicking some ass and still fucking losing matches. So the fuck do I know? That's why I'm sitting freezing in my basement. The funny thing is Carmella didn't retrieve the briefcase. Carmella had her man, the chinless wonder, James Ellsworth, climb the ladder, take the briefcase. Apparently, SmackDown's going to be on in just a few minutes as we are live. If you're listening on delay, you probably already know the answers. I don't. But supposedly, they were going to have a little this and that about the match. So maybe Carmella's not even going to be the winner. Who knows? It's a good thing Daniel Bryan's back, right? Maybe he could square all this bullshit away. The pro aptly named by our friends at Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Jinder My Balls, successfully defended his title with what are they even calling them? I guess the Jinder Brothers. The two guys that Randy Orton fucking annihilated last month. Wound up beating the shit out of them a little bit again. But I'm kind of glad they kept the belt on Jinder, to be honest with you. Let's give this guy some momentum. I kind of like where they're going with this. There was a men's Money in the Bank. A lot of people lost their shit that Baron Corbin won. I feel a little bit better about Baron Corbin than I did about Bray Wyatt years ago. I saw a huge change in momentum with Bray at the beginning of this year. And of course, unfortunately, that seems to have all gone by the wayside. Maybe we could get a little something better with Baron Corbin. I don't know. I'm still not on his bandwagon. I don't know who else I would have picked to win this match, but let's just see where they go. Is Jinder Mahal versus Baron Corbin really going to be highlighting a pay-per-view, going to be main eventing? Well, let's see what happens. I'm not too keen on it, but let's see what happens. trying to see what else happened on the pay-per-view. Let me take a look, see what else I have in terms of notes. Oh, the Hype Bros beat the Colons. I know I like beating my colon. The Usos fucking took a walk against the New Day. That's a shitty ending if I ever heard one. I hate that shit. Don't care about the Ascension. They came back. Apparently they were beaten on the Fashion Police. The fucking Breezang. I don't fucking care. I don't really fucking know. And apparently in the ladder match, the Money in the Bank men's match, they've been teasing a little bit of AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. The one thing I did like, Shinsuke's entrance being fucking Shanghai'd, Pearl Harbored, and any other slurs against the Japanese you can think of that used to be used in professional wrestling. Poor guy didn't even get to have a sing-along with the fans. You know what? Tough shit. Oh, well. It was bound to happen sooner or later. I guess you can give it to Baron Corbin to try to build him up. So that was Money in the Bank. Things are moving forward. I don't know if they're necessarily in the right direction. Although, like I said, do like the Jinder Mahal stuff. Put it out there if you're listening live. I have a post on the Shining Wizards Facebook page if anybody has any questions. I don't see any questions. Just a complaint that there was dead air, and now there's not. Well, actually, it's probably shitty air because I'm speaking on it. Yo, 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 let me speak on this. Olale! Shout out to Conan and Kevin Gill and all those guys. So, there was Monday Night Raw, and our buddy
Roman Reigns
gave us a big update that he is going to challenge the winner of Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar. To which Samoa Joe came out and said, fuck you, who do you think you are, just giving yourself a title match? And Joe makes a great point. Who the fuck does he think he is? Who does anybody think they are? I thought we had authority figures for a reason. To keep dumb shit like this from happening. I understand that Roman Reigns beat The Undertaker and he's crying, this is my yard, I deserve a shot. Former champion, not a universal champion, but former champion nonetheless. And maybe he does deserve a shot. But just to walk out and ask for it, I don't blame Samoa Joe for busting his face with that big old cocoa butt of his. That's a tribute to the old Bobo Brazil, SD Jones, one of my favorite. The big old cocoa butt. I miss those days. So they brawled a little bit, and Roman Reigns going heel, and he's changing things up a little bit, talking about all the guys he's beaten, including Braun Strowman, which he didn't beat Braun Strowman, but if you're going to have heel tendencies, you might as well change the facts to fit the story. What is it? Everybody quotes Dusty Rhodes as saying, never let the facts get in the way of a great story. Something like that. So, yeah, there was that. But the big story coming out of Raw was the ending, where we find out why Enzo and Big Cass were being jumped in the back. And it wasn't anyone jumping the two of them. It was Enzo. It was Big Cass jumping himself and jumping Enzo. Because he's tired of just being Enzo's muscle. Tired of having to carry him. Tired of feeling sorry for him because he's got a big mouth and he can't back anything up. And he boots Enzo right in the face. And Cass goes out on his own. And we all knew it was coming. And people were complaining. And there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, Enzo and Cass are my favorite tag team. It's been a couple of months now since I kind of stopped. I fell off the Enzo and Cass bandwagon, to be honest with you. And from the way things were going months ago, it seemed as if Big Cass was going to be breaking out on his own. Didn't he? Wasn't he involved in Hell in a Cell? He had a title shot at some point. And his mic work has gotten significantly better by himself. Of course, he's fucking 9 feet tall or whatever he is. And he's pretty talented. And he doesn't hurt himself falling out of the ring like Enzo does. But you know what? Maybe Enzo made the right play, though. He looked like he was upset that he was losing his best friend. didn't want to believe it, almost had the emotional range of Hulk Hogan when Andre the Giant challenged him for a championship match in a WrestleMania. So I was kind of digging it all around. Now I just hope they do the right thing with this. I hope they don't wind up putting Enzo in, you know, the Job Squad 2017 or something even more ridiculous. But let's see where this goes. A lot of options, especially getting big cast into that main event picture. A main event picture that's already crowded. I don't know if you guys saw, but WWE 2K18 is coming out. And if I heard stories correctly from the video game industry, this could be, or probably is, the last version of a WWE game put out under the 2K Sports banner. Can they please just take some of the remnants of the old Aki engine and just go back to an old THQ model? I would love that. I would buy that in a heartbeat. I would put that on every system that I own. I would even put it on the 2800 if I could figure it out. That's how cool that engine was, and that's how people still pine for those days. When you hear people saying that WWE No Mercy could be the best wrestling game ever, they're not just saying that because they're living nostalgia. It was an amazing game. And yeah, the games nowadays, they look good and they play well, but nothing beats that feeling, man. There was so much control. There were so many options. It was pretty wild, and nothing beat getting together with three other guys or, you know, whatever, and just sitting around playing that. We played the shit out of that game. There were only a few games that people really enjoyed playing that are like tops on the Nintendo 64. And even non-wrestling fans always liked that version, you know, that version of a wrestling game in some way, shape, or form, whether it was Fire Pro Wrestling or, was it Fire Pro? I forget. We just called it the Japanese wrestling game because it was pretty cool. But whether it was No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000 or, you know, the WCW Revenge or World Tour, any one of those games, based on an amazing engine, based on amazing characters, and shit, I had friends of mine, and this is pre, you know, internet blowing up days where they figured out how to morph all the guys. They would find the, you know, the No Mercy fact sheets and change names and change appearances and figured out how to make all these characters. Like, we even made our own characters. Like, we made them of ourselves. But I'm digressing. Was there anything else that happened on Raw? Yeah, the Hardys wrestled, and I think Cesaro and Sheamus took on Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil. I don't know where they're going with that. Apparently Sasha Banks took on Nia Jax, and it was just another schmoz and all the women getting involved. I don't get it. If you don't have something for people, you don't have to force them and shoehorn them on TV. And if you're going to put them on TV, you don't need to have a story for them. Just let them have a match. It's no big deal. Putting wrestling on a wrestling show, imagine that. Finn Balor came out, interrupted Joe the Drifter, or whatever his name is, singing. I don't understand. Oh, Elias Samson, sorry. I'm not writing that gimmick off yet, but I just don't get it. So Finn Balor has a match with Bo Dallas. As a matter of fact, Bo Dallas and, I was going to say Axel Rotten. Curtis Axel played the Bears and helped The Miz beat the shit out of Dean Ambrose. So good for them. At least these guys are getting used somehow, right? And maybe The Miz is going to have an entourage. Think about it. A lot of these guys, when they came up, had entourages. Edge had the Edgeheads. Of course, we all know who they are, Kurt Hawkins, Zack Ryder. Kurt Angle had Team Angle, Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas. Why not Miz? He's a star. He's a star. Jesus, yes, he's a star. He's a disease. Well, you're the disease. And I'm the cure, and I can't even fucking talk. I'm not even going to bother. Debut that I didn't cover, that I wanted to leave for Maria and Mike Kanellis. Yes, you heard that right. That's what you get, Mr. Kanellis, for being a Patriots fan. They took your manhood away. They named you after your wife. Actually, I kind of like the gimmick. Kind of went over like a fart in church on the pay-per-view. But I hope these guys make something out of it. as screechy and shrilly as Maria was getting in their last days at Impact Wrestling, that was some good stuff, that gimmick. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was that gimmick that put them over the top and actually got them to catch the eyes of people at WWE. And I'm kind of glad he's not going to be stuck having to earn his keep and be reprogrammed in NXT and all that other, you know, happy stuff. That they're going to have a chance. And I'm sure they're going to make the most of it. Jinder Mahal in the news says he regained his confidence on the indie scene. Whoa, and I didn't know this. He almost opened up a Subway franchise. Can't make this stuff up, folks. Just can't make it up. So apparently he was keeping himself busy on the indie scene, and he was wrestling for 20 minutes, building his confidence. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that you didn't want to be on the indie scene, and you had a sniff of the big time, and it was just the motivation of being out of the spotlight. Whatever it is, I'm so glad he is my WWE champion. So glad. I don't even have any news and notes. There's some notes here as to why The Miz now has an entourage. Oh, okay. I read this, and I think this is pretty stupid. I can understand it, but I think it's ridiculous. They didn't want there to be two power couples on the roster, even though they're on different brands. So they didn't want there to be a Miz and Maryse while there was a Maria and Mike. Wow, that's a lot of M's if you think about it. Maybe that's not such a bad decision. So whatever. They're giving Mike Bennett and Maria an opportunity. I hope they make the best of it. Just like I'm making the best of this time tonight. We have been crazy busy lately. I know you guys know that. It's been hard for the four of us or even two of us to get together to do a show. But tonight I happened to catch a little bit of a break. And after I threw some diner down, I figured, let me run down to the machine and give you guys a few minutes. I don't think I'm going to wrap it up just yet, but when I do, I'm going to give you guys, just exclusively on the rant, a replay of Kevin's first solo episode, because it didn't get to air last week. Well, because we put out the show Saturday night, actually. So you will get to hear that coming up in a few minutes. But I wanted to tell you, while you're waiting for Kevin's episode, you know what you could be doing? You could be sleeping, which I hope I didn't put you to sleep. You can be taking a shower, especially if you're in the Northeast like me and it's hot as a mug out there. Or you could prepare a fresh meal from Blue Apron. Go to ShiningWizards.com, click the Blue Apron banner, and find out what I've been telling you about for weeks, for months now. You want a freshly prepared meal prepared by your hands. So if you want to put boogers in it, you know they're your boogers and you'd be happy to eat them. But I'm joking. We just got another delivery this past week. We've yet to make it. We just haven't had time. But this week on the menu, we've got some roast beef. We've got kale and some other kind of tarts to make. And crispy chicken fingers with roasted potatoes and squash. How could you go wrong? Go to ShiningWiz.com, click the blue apron banner, and get $30 off your first order, thanks to us, the Shining Wizards. And I don't know what to say to that. Blue Apron, it's delicious. What more is there to say? Is there any more news and notes? Will Baron Corbin win Money in the Bank? Well, he did. I'm still waiting to see if there's going to be... Oh, WWE must have a video up. Yep, here we go. If you really want to laugh, WWE posted the following video of the superstars singing the theme for Great Balls of Fire. I can't play it because I'm not wired in that way, but... If it's anything other than Great Balls of Fire by Jerry Lee Lewis, that's an epic fail. If you want to go check that out, go over to WWE.com. I can tell you this much. I've been preparing by taking some of my old wrestling DVDs and ripping them and putting them on my electronic devices. And you know what I've been enjoying first? All over again? The Dell, the Patriot Wilkes story. If you haven't checked that out, go over to, I think it's thepatriotdelwilkes.com. It's been so long since I've ordered it, but it's a great three-disc set. It's got matches from Japan. Tells his story about getting his start. College football, trying to get into the NFL, working for Vern Gagne, and all the things that happened after that, including his problems with addiction. It's a great story. Check it out. Do some DDP yoga. Get your ass healthy. Maybe I'll have some more news. Maybe I'll start getting some more time to watch wrestling again. Al Snow's pissed off at fans for being pseudo experts. Tough shit, Al. I watch wrestling. I'm going to have an opinion. Go fuck yourself. No, I'm kidding. I like Al Snow. But go fuck yourself anyway. Don't tell me not to have an opinion. Come on now. And I am not the only one. I will end with this. I am not the only one that wants Conor McGregor to beat the ever-living shit out of Floyd Mayweather. And apparently I overheard on another podcast today, turnbucklethrowbacks.com, that maybe Floyd Mayweather might have been a spousal abuser. I don't know. I put no credence in that because I didn't bother to go look it up or anything, but that would be kind of shitty, and I really hope Conor McGregor knocks an extra tooth out of his mouth if that's the case. If not, he could get away with just knocking out two or three. So that's my wrestling report. I've been following some Facebook pages lately on wrestling belts because, as you all know, that I am a wrestling belt mark. So is my compatriot Kevin. I don't know if I'm going to be getting back into that game. At one point, I think I had something like 15 or 16 belts, but I think we might have to step it up next time. Maybe get something a little more professionally done rather than a Figures Inc. / wrestling superstore replica. But that's about it. I guess I wasn't as angry as I thought I would be. Just a couple little things that pissed me off, but okay, let's end on a good note. I know that the WWE likes to, they like to give belts away, to people, you know, like sports teams, like, you know, whoever Golden State won the NBA finals. So they gave them a bunch of belts and, you know, they like to do that. I get it. It's free publicity. It's like a congratulations. It's a trophy that every player can get. But apparently, just recently, Triple H went over to, visit Charlie, geez, I hope I pronounce this right, Gennagault. He was one of the officers, one of the people injured on the attack at London Bridge over in England. So Triple H went over there to, I guess an offer of kindness, an offer of, hey, we're thinking about you, and presented him with a championship belt. And that's pretty cool. Now, look, I get it. Yes, publicity, Conor's cure. We've shit on all that before. But we never take it away from the fact that they do this, you know, just to spread some nicety, put some love in the world. And isn't that all we need? All we need is love. I wish I had a Beatles song to end this on. But I was thinking today, and I was listening to Studio 54 on XM Radio, and I was wondering, I was like, you know, they put a lot of dance music on here too. It's not just not just old disco stuff. And I'm kind of not really into that music, but I do enjoy listening to it. Which reminded me of the days immediately after disco ended, which ushered in the freestyle era, which was a lot of a Latin sound. I know a lot of Puerto Rican sound came into that as well. And it's not like what you would think of, you know, when you typically think of like Latin American, you know, sounds with I don't know how to describe it. It was more of a different sound. They called it freestyle, and it's not just, it had nothing to do with rap. A lot of people think of freestyle. They think of rappers freestyling, which, you know, came out of that eventually. But this was more of a Latin sound. It came out of the streets, probably about the same time as rap, but it caught on a little more mainstream. As a matter of fact, before XRK, I know I'm just babbling, became K-Rock here in New York and, became well known for, classic rock and the start of Howard Stern off of NBC. It was Disco 92, 92 KTU. Yes, I know there's a 103.5. It's a whole thing. Go on Wikipedia and check it out. It's pretty interesting. But this led into the freestyle era. And I thought, because we do have some Boricua that listen to the show, I would end them off with a classic, a remix from Rare Arts, If you're listening on rantemradio.com, stay tuned for Shining Wizard Kevin with his Money in the Basement show. Listen to it for more than just his Money in the Bank preview. Listen to it for his discussion on the NWO members. And listen to this because you're a fan of mine.
Yo, fellas!
And you like the Boricua Passe! New Day of Destruction tomorrow night. Tune in.